gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Join the party, won't you? StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, SexyLiberal.com and the Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Wow-wee! Speaking of breaking Sexy Liberal news, dear God in heaven. Time to do the moonwalk.
Yeah. Humana, 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 humana.
Wow. I don't, and we don't even know. You know what? We're going to go with right-wing scampery.
We will.
We were given bad information. Phoenix, ladies and gentlemen of Phoenix. You know, I may need the bullhorn for this. Oh. We were given bad information. We are, in fact, at the Orpheum tomorrow night in Phoenix, not at Symphony Hall.
Luckily, they are only two blocks apart. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
There will
what
be
a cluster of epic proportions. We apologize. Our listeners, smarter than we are, everyone's been going insane in Phoenix.
Yep.
Because we got bad information that we had been moved to Symphony Hall, apparently not. Apparently there was a previous promoter involved or something. But here's what we don't get. Whereas, slip me the conspiracy sausage, won't you, Jim?
Right.
You know what it is? Because there has been so much right-wing scampery with Sexy Liberal that we were saying, I don't know why, we've gotten millions of emails and calls from saying they couldn't buy tickets. Because we had been told we were sold out months ago. We stopped promoting it months ago.
Yep.
Well, there are a few. There's actually very few left now, so I would hurry.
So if you want them, get them now.
Yes, but there were tickets available. And for months, people weren't able to buy them. We don't know why.
Well, the right wing were scared that you'd take focus away from the wildly successful Glenn Beck comedy tour.
Yes, that's probably it. And the wildly successful Republican primary.
Jan Brewer works just about 10 blocks down Washington Street.
You know, I'm going to get my bony finger right in her face. I'm going to be like, what's happened with this whole...
She's behind this.
Yeah. I got your papers right here.
See, she's the crypt keeper.
You see?
Yeah, I get it. I see that. That was funny. Okay. You know what? It's not only is it Friday, but it's Friday before vacation, and we always get fairly incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Even in the first segment.
And a Friday before Sexy Liberal.
Great.
I know.
Totally.
I can't wait to go. Yay.
Yay. Chris Lloyd will be opening the show for us and bringing John Fugelsang up on stage. We're very excited.
Yep.
Because you're a homeboy of sorts.
I am a homeboy. I lived there for 13 years, went to ASU.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Woo. I did the fabulous Dr. Mike Newcomb's show yesterday. It was fabulous.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so very few tickets left, but go, because we had stopped. We took it out of rotation. We stopped promoting it. We had been told we were sold out and moved or whatever, and so it turned out we are at the Orpheum.
Yes.
Huh. All right, and there are very few tickets left. Get it.
2011 marked the birth of our generation's greatest liberal comedy tour. In 2012, Phoenix, Arizona will witness the ascension of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to reaffirm its comedic immortality.
Am I getting to Arizona?
In America of all f***ing places?
Oh!
Oh!
On February 25th, Stephanie Miller.
I'm the devil's candy!
And her sexy liberal players will bring their special brand of sweltering sexy liberal comedy to the Orpheum Theater. But it's a dry heat.
It's getting hot in here.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 602-262-7272. Come spite Sheriff Arpaio and pitch a tent with your fellow undocumented progressives. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Orpheum Theater on February 25th. Phoenix, it would be a cardinal sin to miss this.
Oh, all right. Wow, we had to go find that.
Yeah.
Original Orpheum one. All right, so anyway, we will see all y'all sexy liberals tomorrow night. Oh, some of the sexy liberal cause tomorrow night, one of them is the is rescue horses, which is awesome for all animal lovers out there. Is a great cause out there in Arizona. All right, should we invite Sheriff Babu from Pinal County?
Sheriff Babu from Pinal County.
Sure.
Hey, Babu.
Let's invite the sweet Babu.
Yeah.
He's among his people. We're inclusive of the gays.
We are.
Unlike, the Republican Party.
Unlike Jan Brewer.
Somebody said, a Republican consultant there said something about, you know, he's gay and was dating a Mexican. I'm not sure which is worse for Arizona Republicans.
Dating a Mexican illegal is worse, seriously.
And again, Sheriff Babu, we welcome you. We are pro both.
Yeah. Although Arizona has a really high percentage of gay Republicans representing it. Jim Colby.
Funny that.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
And then off to Roland and I will be vacationing together with cucumber slices on our eyes, recovering from this whole
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stress. And then off to Chicago March 3rd, everybody. Very few tickets left there as well. Chicago March 3rd. And then, you know, we were talking about the reason we have to unexpectedly go on vacation early instead of in March, and we normally do, is because March, very, very big. Huge.
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 For the Stephanie Diller
Huge.
Show.
Huge.
Can we say why? No.
No.
No, we can't. Isn't that irritating?
Yes. Yes, it is.
When will people know? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even know when people will know.
Well, they'll just have to stay tuned.
Paris,
all 3 hours.
Paris writes, Steph and Company, regarding this mysterious event in March you speak of, is this a one-time event or something that begins in March and continues forward perhaps indefinitely?
Who can say?
We look forward to your response.
Who can say?
Who can say? Well, we could say.
Who can say?
Well, but then, they'd have to kill us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we could say. You still wouldn't know, would you, what we meant, whether it's a one-time event or something.
I think we could say.
Okay.
Go ahead and say it.
Okay, yeah, it's something that will continue indefinitely. Well, maybe.
Well.
Okay, don't.
Yeah, that's...
People will know. If experience is any guide, it could be a one-time event. Oh, heavens. All right. Jim, it's for you. Let's see. Keith in San Diego, right? Steph and the Mooks, can you play? Because you know a lot of things start here on the Stephanie Miller Show, and then they radiate outward.
Yes.
That's a nice way of saying people steal from
yes.
us. Steph and the Mooks, can you explain the origin of the That Is All meme, which Jim uses as part of his John McCain impression?
Oh, That Is All. Well, that's, you know, the announcement on shipboard.
Yes.
You know, when they, you know.
He's usually doing his Navy-isms.
Yeah.
That is all, you know, that's how you end the communication to the crew. Oh, by the way, the boat is sinking, and you're all screwed. That is all.
That is all.
And that's all. What? No.
That's all for all.
That's, that's not all.
I suppose it's better than That'll Do, Pig.
That's what everyone always says to me after I burp, after one of my epic burping fits.
That'll Do, Pig.
I had never heard it anywhere else except from Jim. After a while, I started seeing it when people left comments on wonkette.com. Now I see it in friends' Facebook statuses all the time.
All.
Usually after they've said something pretty wacky or crazy in an old man McCain sort of way. Could all of these people be Steph heads?
Computers, yeah.
I'm going to guess
I haven't done a McCain Navy rant in a couple of years.
I know it. Great. P.S. I miss Jim's John McCain. Please find a way to bring Grampy back more. P.S. I love art by Cracky. He's harmless yet more entertaining version of Sock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
And
I got you.
Art is a real cranky old man on the Stephanie Miller Show. Grampy McShane, just Jim's impression of John McCain.
Oh, I wish Jim were going to Sexy Liberal Phoenix so that he could do John McCain on stage in Arizona.
Wow.
Damn it, Jim.
Damn it, Jim. I'm just a country doctor. Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a gynecologist.
All right, well, best mook we can do is Chris. Which
I don't do impressions.
Whatever. Just come out and flex and say, here's John.
Okay.
Here's John.
That's the only thing I'm good at.
And these kinds of things.
Just
have to say, get back to the chopper.
Yeah. Just wear something tight.
Wear something tight and show up.
I know.
Okay. Mike and Raleigh wants to know about the week off next week. Steph. Oh, and by the way, the fabulous David Bender in for us next week.
Mm.
Steph, if you're off next week, does that mean I get a week off too? Should I mark this as personal time off, vacation, or family leave? Well, Mike, since you get paid nothing, you can mark it however you'd like.
Sure.
Please and thank you. And thank you for your service, particularly this one.
George had a son named Mitt Romney, awkward as can be.
I love this thing. It seems right here. The trees are the right height.
What height is that tree? George's son named Willard Romney lived a life tax-free.
I was born and raised here. I love this thing.
What height is that tree?
Oh, my God.
What height is that
isn't the right height, my friend.
Tree!
I should have thought of that.
Mike, you rock.
He is awesome.
He will continue to rock next week, although he will lost his entire sense of purpose in life with us on vacation.
He will be well rested for our return on March 5th.
Yes, I understand March is going to be really big for the Stephanie Miller Show. Huh. Why?
What have you heard?
Who can say?
It could possibly be big for Mike and Raleigh as well.
I certainly could. Could be big for everyone touched by the magic of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Absolutely.
What does that mean?
Who can say?
Okay. We're just... Everyone's like, please go on vacation. You're so irritating.
Just shut the app off.
Shut
Come on.
Up, for God's sakes. All right. Gene in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Gene.
Morning, Steph and the Mooks.
Good morning.
Say, you know, the candidates are always asked to release their tax records, and I have a suggestion for what voters should now start to call for. I think we need to call for a complete release of the medical records of all candidates, and in particular, I would like to know whether or not they've had a vasectomy.
Really? Oh. Since we're getting all invasive and up in people's naughty bits business, right?
They want to get in mine? I'd like to know what's in theirs.
Yeah, exactly. You need to drop your pants. Drop trowel.
Sure.
There you go. All right. Thank you, honey.
Put a camera in the newt bag.
Yeah.
I just think I'm going to burst.
People eating.
I don't want to see newts insides.
The outside.
Or the outside.
I don't even want to see the outside. Zoinks. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Back. It will be a partially fugal singing on Friday. John in Florida with his mommy. Yep. He will join us in the third hour.
Uh-huh.
All right, sexy liberal John fugal sang. So it will be a partially fugal singing on Friday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow.
What?
Jeez, never really needed to hear that again.
Oh, come on.
It is the...
That's one of the better Technotronic songs.
Oh, that's...
Wow. That's like stabbing with faint praise.
Like good form of rickets.
One of the better Spice Girl singers.
Huh?
All right, well... Okay, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-DAMMING-WITH-Welcome to Damning with Faint Praise.
Yeah.
I'm Stephanie Miller. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. So we are off to Phoenix tomorrow night. Orpheum. There's still a few tickets left. We were given incorrect venue information and ticket counts.
So go to sexyliberal.com to find out how to get the last remaining tickets for the Orpheum tomorrow night.
Chris Lavoie will be there.
I'll be there.
All right. Along with Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang and I, Sexy Liberals all. By the way, Arizona suddenly in play on Tuesday. It's a... Wow. This is just a... It is the cattywampus of all cattywampus primaries. Sure. Considered easy territory for Romney as recently as last week. The state is now looking more competitive as... Santorum has surged, as we
know. As you do.
Nationally, yes. Mm-hmm. Romney's potential ace in the hole is Arizona's early voting program. Between two-thirds and three-quarters of the state's Republicans are expected to vote before primary day. Romney's organizational strength gives him the edge there, like most insurgents, like most surging Santorums, as you know. Santorum will get a boost from people who wait until Tuesday to vote. So the NBC, it's weird. Even the polls all over the place. An NBC poll had given Romney a 16-point lead. Right. A CNN poll the same day showed Romney was just 4 points.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so...
That poll's not the right height.
No.
What height is that tree?
Jan Brewer and Joe Arpaio.
The Crypt Keeper?
Mm-hmm. who campaigned hard for Romney in 2008, but they backed Rick Perry... Oh, dear.
Yeah.
In this cycle, before he dropped out, remain the two most significant uncommitted Arizona Republicans. That's kind of well-spoken, too, because they're two, they should be committed. There are two Arizona Republicans that should be committed, but are currently uncommitted. Romney's campaign, I love this, was also diverted this week by the scandal engulfing Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babu.
Pinal County.
And Babu. Okay.
Of Pinal County.
Yes.
You say
what?
Pinal. I say you say Pinal. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Boehner. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right, Boehner. One Arizona Republican operative said it's hard to overstate what a rock star Sheriff Babu had been in Arizona.
He actually was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of he was the face of Arizona for a while there on Fox News, because anytime Fox News would open a camera, he would
run
to it.
Now he's the big gay face of Arizona.
That's better than having Jan Brewer the face of Arizona.
Yeah.
Jeez,
well,
Jack.
Babu is not only the face of Arizona, he's the bare chest of Arizona as well.
He's the erect Pinal.
Yes, if you will.
And that, we're checking the one picture.
He's a fan of Honoré de Balzac.
The operative said it's all people in the political world are talking about. It's complete saturation. People are saturated with the whole, not as much as a Santorum surge, but it's pretty saturated.
Level of saturation there.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Which is weird in such a dry state. Not alcohol-wise, but,
There's a wave for Santorum right now, he said. I can't read enough of these stories.
I know.
To divert attention from the Babu, am I saying, like, I don't know.
Babu.
Yogi.
Hey, Babu.
Hello, my sweet Babu. To divert attention from the Babu situation. See, in Republican circles, it's a situation. We're having a situation. immigration and social issues. Romney's campaign on Wednesday launched a coordinated effort to focus on the economy. Hey, look over here. Look away from the gay Mexican dating sheriff. To that end, Romney announced a proposed 20% across-the-board cut to marginal income tax rates. While the campaign described the proposal as revenue neutral, it offered scant details about the spending cuts that would pay for the plan. The economic advisor on Romney's camp said he couldn't estimate when such details would be released, as they only released it in the first place to divert from the gay sheriff. It's just, we don't have any details, because just look away from the gay Mexican dating sheriff. All right. And we still don't know. I guess there's conflicting reports whether he was illegal or not. But we know that the claim is that he threatened to deport him. Because you don't have to be illegal in Arizona.
Right.
He could have just alerted authorities that there was a brown person in his bed.
The original...
If he didn't have to have his papers on him.
Right.
Yeah.
The original
there's no place to put his papers.
Because he was naked.
The original Phoenix New Times story.
See, that's how we would get him.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't have papers, because he's naked in my bed.
The original Phoenix New Times story that interviewed Jose said that he was undocumented.
Yes.
So
Well, you would think, obviously, that if you're threatening to deport someone,
right,
he obviously was illegal at least at some point, or who knows. Okay.
Or is that
in my bed?
Or is just that an illustration of how awful that Senate Bill 1070 was, saying that you could just look at someone's skin color and say, I'm going to deport you.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Everybody knows the tone in Arizona. If you say, deport you, that's the whole... Because it's like, wasn't it President Obama said if you're going out for ice cream with your kids, you don't happen to have your papers on you, you've got to worry?
Right.
Or
if you're in bed with a sheriff.
The sheriff, then...
And you don't have your
papers. Yes. Yikes.
Because you left them in your clothes.
Sure.
And who knows where they are.
Where are my pants? 29 minutes after the hour.
¿Dónde están mis pantalones?
Have a last name?
My name is
Stephanie Miller.
You have a beautiful voice, like Cher, Madonna, Adele. All the women who rock me.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, also Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars, the Fabulous, coming up on the big show today as well. Along with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in hour number 3, he is in Florida.
Yes.
But will be with me and Hal in Phoenix tomorrow night for Sexy Liberal, and then the following Saturday, March 3rd in Chicago. How many tickets sold?
30 tickets sold since we've been on the air this morning for Phoenix, and so there are 35 left. So if you want them, go to sexyliberal.com now.
Get it. Or Sexy Liberal on Facebook. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, because it's like a comedy epicenter now, Arizona, just in time, proving once again, God is a liberal.
Yep.
Because he wants the sexy liberal show we do well. So he creates comedy wherever we go, just in advance. He's our comedy advance man. Thank you, God.
I'm sure he has other titles as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Kenny Pick. Kenny Pick also sends us a, this is one of our favorite parts of the debate. They were all asked for one word to describe themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Without caveats or explanations, please define yourself using one word and one word only. Congressman Paul?
Crazy.
Senator Santorum?
Bigoted.
Governor?
America.
Mr. Speaker?
Monstrosity.
Yay, Kenny Pick.
Thank you, Kenny Pick.
I think that may have been edited.
Yeah. Really? Newt Gingrich actually said cheerful, and I think Bill Maher tweeted, I was thinking pus. That's the word I was thinking.
Cheerful pus. What were you doing monitoring Twitter?
Someone sent it to me.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
I love the Bill Maher. You know that.
I know, but you just don't love the Twitter.
Sure, I do. I'm tweeting left and right all the time, like six shooters. Bing, bing, bing. Okay, oh, I have a new future husband. Let's see here. What's his name? Oh, Indiana House Speaker Brian Bosma.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Republican State Representative Bob Morris refused to sign a resolution honoring the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts this week?
That's right.
Saying after doing some internet-based research.
Yeah.
Jim does a lot of that.
Sure. During the show.
I found pictures of girls in Girl Scout uniforms, and I thought, this is disgusting.
And they were doing lesbionic things.
I need to go deeper. I need to go deep, deep undercover. This is filthy. He found that the Girl Scouts is, quote, quickly becoming a tactical arm of Planned Parenthood, and they promote homosexual lifestyles.
And that pregnancy. Which,
Sure.
How does that work exactly?
What? Which has been subverted in the name of liberal progressive politics and the destruction of the traditional American family values.
Forcing all those lesbian girls to have abortions.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. That wouldn't...
So Indiana... and he's a Republican. Indiana Republican House Speaker Brian Bosma mocked Morris's comments and spent much of the day passing out Thin Mints to the other members. He said, I purchased 278 cases of Girl Scout cookies in the last 4 hours.
Wow. That's
good
great.
For him. For sane Republicans.
You know what? I have not... Nobody's come up to me this year and said, do you want to buy Girl Scout cookies? I'm very upset. I have no Thin Mints in my freezer.
Aww. Oh, God, you're gonna get a deluge now.
Oh, no.
Parents, like, wait a minute, my kids!
Oops.
Crates of them from all over the country.
Yeah. Because this is the kind of crazy that this version of the Republican Party has wrought. A 10-year-old girl offering to sell cookies in Reston around midday on January 14th was stunned and upset when an adult neighbor responded by denouncing abortion. When a woman answered the door, she looked at my daughter and said, we don't support Girl Scouts because they support abortion, which kills babies. left my daughter very shocked and confused. She said, Mommy, something creepy happened to me.
That's what happens when you try to sell cookies to Republicans.
Wow.
Seriously? These are abortion cookies.
You're going to talk about baby killing to a 10-year-old that just is trying to sell some shortbread cookies?
Idiots.
Wow. Okay, something creepy happened. I went to Republican's house.
Abortion cookies. Oh.
Yikes. You know, here's the thing. There are, speaking of sane Republicans, like David, what's his name, from? On his dumb party's birth control stupidity, he wrote a piece on the Daily Beast, Why Birth Control Issue Stings. We can't have sane Republicans warning them.
No.
But he makes a very good point. He says, right now, hundreds of thousands of young Americans are using birth control to delay pregnancies they want but feel they can't currently afford.
Yeah.
If this poll is correct, almost one-third of Americans have delayed starting a family because of the economy. Think about how last night's debate sounded from the view of such people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how out of touch did it sound? Because that's what I was saying to you yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to prevent abortions, birth control is your friend. Not thinking this through.
Yeah, I thought maybe because I have the gay on me that I was like, but I was going, what? I don't understand. You mean you're supposed to just have as many children as, you mean just never? What,
you're supposed to have
we're
children?
We're going to be a nation of, what's her name, Dugar?
Yeah.
Like who has, what, 19 kids? I'm like, what, how, huh?
And counting.
How is that even practical or what?
You're supposed to have babies until your uterus falls out.
Yes. I mean, I understand emotionally the debate over abortion, but I'm going, what? Birth control?
If you can't afford your mortgage, just go live in a shoe. What? What's your problem?
I'm just out of college, and I don't have a job yet, and I have four children already. What? I don't. I just was a little, you know, I had to wrap my mind, my big gay brain around it.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Because you don't use birth control.
Well, I do.
Well, just not for its intended purpose.
I just don't get your penis.
Well, is that your birth control?
Yes.
Oh.
That's pretty effective, actually. Or a turkey-based drink.
I don't need to hold anything between my legs. I just avoid penises. But, you know, not an option for some gals.
Right.
I'm pro-choice that way. Smoke if you got them. All right.
Oh, my God.
Gals, listen. Whatever floats your personal boat. All right.
And the man in it.
Yes. All
what?
Right. You know what?
What?
This is us on a Friday. It's
every
us
boat
before...
has a captain. What?
It's us before vacation.
Now hear this. That is all.
This is how we roll. Oh, boy. Okay. Story after story like this. Politico headline is GOP fears rise over 2012 tone and message. In 2008, if you thought that was bad. Well. Republicans were routed in the presidential and congressional elections. There was widespread consensus within the elite GOP circles about the party's structural problems. Republican voter base was too old, too white, too male, and too strident for the party to prosper in the long term.
And of course, the big problem was that one.
Yeah, a country growing ever more diverse.
Mm.
4 years later, many of the same GOP leaders are watching with rising dismay as the 2012 presidential campaign has featured excursion into social issues like contraception and a sprint by candidates to strike the toughest stance against illegal immigration, issues they say are far removed from the workaday concerns of independent voters Republicans need to evict Barack Obama from the White House. The phenomenon of a party talking to itself. Yeah, that's what that debate was the other night. It's like, really? Who talks about stuff like what? Rather than reaching out to new voters, was on sharp display at a candidates' debate here Wednesday night, marked by nearly 2 hours of peevish and often confusing exchanges between Mitt Romney and his surging Santorum, as you know. All right. I messed up this. Hold, please. Everybody talk among themselves. Hang on.
Oh, no.
Please stand by. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
My cat rearranged part of this morning.
Your cat?
Okay, yes. Well, you know, it's my adopted cat.
Okay.
Yes, concerns about tone and attitude abound as senior Republican strategists fret mostly in private about the message it sends to have four middle-aged or elderly white men holding forth about birth control in a national forum. It really is true. That's what was so comedic about it. As a general rule, when you're in a bucket talking about women's health and morality, that's not a space you want to be in long term, particularly when people are focused on jobs and gas prices, said one Republican. For Romney, the goal of reaching out to Hispanics probably didn't get any easier Wednesday night after he praised Arizona's immigration policy as the model for the nation. Oh, yikes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, mittens. Don't worry. He'll completely change his mind by the time the general rules are out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully people will forget.
Pardon me?
If not sooner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The coalition for Republicans to win is a coalition of disaffected people, said one. Yeah, they're just a grumbly, grumbly little group. We will have Hispanics and Latinos who feel let down by Obama. They said blacks and Latinos. Well, that's quite a niche you're going for. What were you talking about, Larry Elder and Michael Steele? That's a big group that you're going to... That's what you're running on?
J.C. Watts.
Blacks that are disaffected by Obama. Okay. And what was the Hispanic? Didn't I do a poll last week? Aren't they? Obama wins by, I don't know, nearly 70% of the Hispanic vote. Okay. Yes, I would. That's what I would laser focus on. The disaffected blacks and Hispanics.
And the other 30% are in Miami.
All right. Mitt Romney, I love when he talks about principles like he has some.
He explained why he voted for the bridge to nowhere.
Santorum.
Even though that was against his principles. I don't know that I've ever seen a politician explain in so many ways why it was he voted against his principles. I can tell you one thing. If I'm president of the United States, I will abide by my principles, and my team will be
the people
of the United States of America.
Yeah, he has many different principles.
Which ones will they be by then? I'll abide by my principles. Who can even identify them? Oh, my God. It's going to be a thing of beauty because he, you know, still is likely going to be the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in record time, he's going to have to now, like... completely flip. I mean, that's already his thing,
yeah.
Being a flip-flopper. He is going to have to flip-flop, unbelievably, because of how far right he's had to go in this primary. And it's just going to be, can the man, most inauthentic man in the world seem even more inauthentic?
Computer says yes.
Yes, indeed, I think he can.
Just have to show clips of his changing opinions, you know, back to back.
Yeah.
Just little 3-second bites.
Yeah.
The Democrats are already collecting all of those sound bites, and they're already assembling them into commercials.
Beautiful. You'll have clips from the debate when he was trying to become governor of Massachusetts to this past Wednesday in Arizona. Oh,
and just end with.
And then back to the primary, and then back to the general election.
Right. And then there should be the big chyron at the end. Who are you?
Yeah, Seinfeld. Who are these people?
Who are these people pretending to be Mitt Romney?
Yeah. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Girls.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi there. I wish you three a very good vacation.
Thank
I cannot
you.
Wait to hear this good news when we get back.
Me too.
Very excited to hear this.
Yes.
Here's important news. The chat room is brilliant, as you know.
Yes.
We have come out with the new versions of the Girl Scout abortion cookies.
Yes.
Yes, we have Thin Mints.
Thin Mints,
Spermatozoa Samoas.
Oh, awesome.
Dozy don'ts. And all of them are made with eggs.
Oh, you're such scamps. All right, Sue. Don't be nice to Uncle David Bender next week.
Oh, we always take care of Bendy.
All right, good. Nope. Good idea. Yep. Pot roast in the freezer.
Eric,
don't eat too many Pop Tarts.
Eric on Twitter just tried placenta pecan and fetus fingers.
Okay, awesome. Terrific. Robert is eat up. Yeah. Robert in Chicago. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you? Can't wait to see you on March 3rd.
Me too. Yay.
I got the meet and greet seats.
Oh, that's...
I figure maybe me, you, and my wife. What do you think?
Yeah, baby. Three-way, that's what I'm talking about.
All right. I want to find out, okay, if these candidates have had vasectomies, because that's a form of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be willing to bet you anything that Romney's had one for sure. And Gingrich, you know that, and I bet all of them have.
Yeah, I think it's somebody suggested that earlier, Robert. Time to drop trowel is all I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
If they want to get up
in my personal business, like guys like Transvaginal Bob in Virginia.
I don't know if an issue could be made. If an issue could be made out of Romney's dog, that could probably be made an issue also.
Yep.
You know, find that out. I mean, and then let's hear him claim that they didn't get it for birth control, that he got it to prevent prostate cancer or something.
Yeah. I think he's been, it's a neutering issue either way. Yes. Has he been neutered? And let's get back into the dog issue.
Yeah.
All right. Did he just prove my point about my bit? You say gay, they just hear three-way. I'm sorry.
That's
did
right.
you say three-way? Did you say what? I'm sorry. All sex is with three-way? No, I said gay. Three-way? Okay. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Yeah, well, right. I promoted it, didn't I?
Sure, I guess.
Although I frequently tease things and then I totally forget to do.
Well, that's why I never pay attention to your teases.
Right. Okay. Bill Kristol on the Brit Burr.
Look, I think Solyndra and other like companies, and now we'll have algae versions of Solyndra. They won't be, it doesn't sound quite as sexy, the solar algae, it'll be algae Indra, something like that, and that'll waste $500 million of our taxpayers' money. And we had someone on the show earlier, as a little clip, a Democratic strategist saying, oh, that's not an issue, that's not a big issue or a legitimate issue. I don't buy that. That embodies the crony capitalism of the Obama administration and the we know best in Washington, and we're going to target money to this rather than to that. Deregulate, let people drill, on public lands, let people invest in solar energy and algae if they want to as well, and we will gradually solve our energy problem.
Oh, Jim, I guess you've mentioned this many times. Oh, the number of drilling rigs in the U.S. oil fields has quadrupled under Obama, and domestic oil production hit an eight-year high in 2011. Yes. For the first time in 60 years, the U.S. is now a net fuel exporter.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's a great article in the McClatchy papers about how the oil prices have nothing to do with the president's policies. It has to do, one, with Iran. And if they shut down the Strait of Hormuz, then obviously the price will go up because there'll be scarcity.
And oil speculators.
Speculation is now part of the DNA of oil prices. You cannot separate the two anymore. There is no demarcation, said Fidel Gaeta, 30-year veteran of energy markets and analyst at Oppenheimer & Company.
Yeah. McClatchy said energy futures markets serve a legitimate role in helping producers like oil companies and big end users like airlines hedge against price volatility. But lately, they've been taken over by Wall Street speculators who never intended to actually use the fuel that they're betting on.
Yep.
So, but you can tell that the talking point has gone out. Speaker Boehner instructed fellow Republicans to embrace the gas pump anger.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Santorum conspiratorially claimed Obama is intentionally pushing up prices to cut carbon emissions. And Newt Gingrich put out a 30-minute video on how the Obama administration is so anti-oil, they forced the price of gas to go up.
No.
I mean, just complete, utter...
They've increased drilling in the U.S.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
All
right. Rush Limbaugh, here we go.
I think Obama likes a rising price. In fact, he said so.
Sure.
He loved it when it got to $4 a gallon.
Uh-huh.
What he said was he's a little unhappy about how quickly it got there. But this AP story... Obama benefiting from improving made-up fake economy. Well, it doesn't say that in the headline. Yeah.
No, he just threw that in there.
Oh, I see. Oh, the AP.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't actually say
AP
fake made-up economy.
Obama was a Muslim who hates America and was raising oil prices. Well, it doesn't actually say that. But I threw that in
there. All right. I'm just, I'm improvising.
I'm spitballing here, yeah.
Okay. Steve Ducey, Fox and Friends.
Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, famous for speaking his mind, has some words for billionaire Warren Buffett.
He should just write a check and shut up. Really, and just contribute, okay?
Chris Christie sitting down on the curvy couch moments from now. Yeah, shut up and write a check. Awesome.
God,
awesome.
Yeah, he did. He did,
write a check, Nimrod.
You moron.
He wrote a check like a month ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he should shut up and write another check.
Yeah. Steve Ducey being a newsman and all should have known what... the news was regarding Warren Buffett writing his check.
News generally doesn't involve being a big fanboy geek of Chris Christie's.
Write a
check. So refreshing and so plain-spoken. He's so bold.
He's awesome. Write a check. That's great.
What, he did write a check?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, well, there goes that. I got nothing.
Shipped write a check. Boom! There, I said it, and I did not vaporize to the carpeting. No! Okay.
Bada bing!
There. Oh, pardon you. Are you all right?
I fell on the board.
Okay.
Fell on a guitar, apparently.
Yikes.
All right. Eric Bolling on the Fox and Friends. Are we singing?
I woke up this morning and turned on the news. Gasoline was up again.
Oh,
I got the blues.
Ew.
I had a few bucks to bring to the bank. Needed it all to fill up my tank. The dollars roll higher on the gasoline pump with each ring-a-ding-ding, a pain in my rump. So live it up while you can, Commander-in-Chief, because our pain at the pump is beyond our belief. We'll remember in November when we vote and choose. And you know why you lost, because we got the gasoline blue.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
awesome!
He just said awesome again.
Is that Steve Ducey again?
Steve Ducey said awesome.
Yikes. See, because President Obama sang.
Yeah, he is like the Spicoli of Fox News, isn't he?
Buddy guy.
Yeah.
He's Spicoli.
He is Spicoli.
Trying to clap in the background, trying to hit the downbeat.
That's what passes for awesome entertainment on.
That's what Fox News thinks is awesome.
Oh,
that right there.
Awesome!
Okay, wow.
I have a headache.
Yeah, me too. And yet there's more right when after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It is time to feel good. It's Happy Friday, everybody. John Fugelsang, Sexy Liberal, joins us next hour. He's in Florida with his mama. So it will be a partially Fugelsangian Friday. All right. But you will see him live in living color tomorrow night on stage in Phoenix, and then the following Saturday on stage in Chicago, along with the other Sexy Liberal, Hal Sparks. All right. 70miller.com, the website. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. In case you've just tuned in, dear God in heaven, what a cluster this whole Phoenix situation has been.
Yes.
We are at the Orpheum, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the Orpheum. We apologize for all of the confusion. We just, you know, Jim, let's just go with right-wing scampery. I don't really know. We were apparently given bad information by a previous promoter, and we apologize. We were told we'd been moved to Symphony Hall.
Right.
We were told we sold out months ago, so we stopped promoting it. And there are very few tickets left, apparently. But we apologize for all the confusion.
It is the show right-wingers don't want you to see.
Yeah. Well, we were saying we don't understand why people have been unable to buy tickets for months, if
right.
there were still some available, but there are very, very few. Get it, go.
2011 marked the birth of our generation's greatest liberal comedy tour. In 2012, Phoenix, Arizona will witness the ascension of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to reaffirm its comedic immortality.
In America of all f***ing places?
Yeah!
On February 25th, Stephanie Miller,
I'm the devil's candy,
and her sexy liberal players will bring their special brand of sweltering sexy liberal comedy to the Orpheum Theater. But it's a dry heat.
It's getting hot in here.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 602-262-7272. Come spite Sheriff Arpaio and pitch a tent with your fellow undocumented progressives. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Orpheum Theater on February 25th. Phoenix, it would be a cardinal sin to miss this.
Oh, all right. So get it. We'll have a hot time in Phoenix tomorrow night.
Well, it is supposed to be in the lower 80s tomorrow.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's not true until Jim Ward says it in a bullhorn.
Oh.
Attention, people of Phoenix.
Attention, people of Phoenix.
The show is at the Orpheum.
The show is at the Orpheum.
Do not go to Symphony Hall.
Do not go to Symphony Hall. That is all.
Okay.
Thank you.
The show is at the Orpheum. All right, and then the next Saturday, Chicago, the big Super Saturday show right before Super Tuesday, backed up by the Chicago Blues All Stars. By the way, John Fugelsang will probably do "Liberal Man," which is the really good, really funny version of a blues song, unlike that thing monstrosity we just heard in Right Wing World.
Oof!
That was some sort of right wing blues singing of some
from
sort.
Eric Bolling.
And people
yes.
trying to keep the beat in the
yeah.
background.
It's like
miserably.
The difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama singing. That's
right.
That's what you'll...
And that apparently is what passes for awesome on the
awesome.
Fox News channel.
Okay. Is he more Spicoli, Steve Doocy, or the Keanu Reeves? Who's the Keanu Reeves character?
Bill and Ted?
Yeah, there you go.
He's more Spicoli.
Learn about Cuba, eating some food.
Some food.
Mr. Han.
Mr. Han.
All right, so. Joanne writes, Steph, I almost panicked when I heard Friday. Today was your last day before the Chicago show. We're going on vacation next week. That's curious, too. We'll
wonder why we're doing that.
It's weird. It's going early.
I know.
I need a few questions to answer. Does the Chicago theater serve booze, or do I have to smuggle something in? Oh, lots of booze.
Booze and dope?
Yes, Chicago theater.
Doesn't go for booze.
Oh, Chicago.
State Street doesn't go for booze.
Oh, Chicago really goes for booze. Chicago theater, yes. Oh, doors open at 7. Booze in Phoenix as well. Doors open at 7.
Is there booze?
For booze. And then the show starts at 8. Number 2, can my daughter bring her unusually expensive camera to the show? Yes. And if so, please don't put it down your pants. It's a large camera. It'll make you feel like you're in Virginia.
Wow.
All right. I will not.
Hasselblad.
It's a transvaginal probe
scan?
Camera.
Yeah.
I'm jumping on my plane from San Diego. She's coming from San Diego.
Whoa.
To see you at the show on Saturday in Chicago. Love to you and the Mooks, Joanne. Thank you, Joanne. And her daughter's transvaginal probe camera. All right. Oh, by the way, so we're going on...
Put the camera in Stephanie's pants.
Okay.
That is all.
Thank you. All right. we were mentioning we have some really big... The reason we have to unexpectedly go on vacation early and not in March like we normally do is because March, very, very big for the Stephanie Miller Show. Huge.
Very big.
Huge.
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 Huge. Why? Who can say?
That's right.
So the internet...
Well, you could
the interweb,
say...
I could.
But we'd have
yes.
to kill you. Well,
right.
somebody would have to kill you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but that's why we can't be on vacation in March. So lots of the interwebs have nearly exploded with speculation as to what it could be. Mm-hmm. Chris in Yankton says the big announcement, guys, I have no idea what it is, but I hope it involves a Stephanie Miller Show school lunchbox. Who wouldn't love to have one? A singing lying sack of crap or a frothy Santorum lunchbox grade class. Mm. Yeah, who wouldn't love that?
A family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow, with a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hello, children.
It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy. I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy.
Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock, look at Frothy go. Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock, just like a lump of coal.
Yay, Frothy.
Best Mike and Raleigh bit ever.
I think maybe. By the way, here's Susan in Knoxville, Tennessee with some fun facts. Hey, staff, if anyone needs birth control in the U.S., it's the Christians. Catholics make up 31.3% of all abortions in the U.S. Protestants make up 37.4%. 18% born-again evangelicals.
Mm.
Wow, that's some interesting. Jewish women only account for 1.3%.
Interesting.
Hmm. Just saying. Okay.
All right.
All right, Mackenzie in Spokane, this has got to be a Mike and Raleigh bit, or Hello, We're in Hollywood, there has got to be a sitcom, Seriously, Santorum. And Kathy Griffin could still be in it, just a gay
suddenly
lover.
Suddenly Santorum.
Oh, seriously? Oh, that's what I was thinking, either one.
Suddenly Santorum.
Suddenly Santorum.
Yeah.
Suddenly Santorum.
But Kathy Griffin is the wacky sidekick that keeps knocking in, walking in on the gays.
If you suddenly have Santorum, you're not doing it right.
No. You should plan for that.
Yeah.
That's just like Planned Parenthood. There should be Planned Santorum, really.
Sure.
Mm. Sure.
So what percentage of Jewish women?
1.3.
Must be a Jewish birth control.
Get off me! What are you doing?
You're on my hair!
Murray!
Get off me!
You're sleeping on the couch!
I want to go to Miami.
All right. What was that all about?
I don't know.
That just doesn't get... Okay. We haven't heard from Sid Flagelman in Boca in quite some time.
No, what's that? Flagelman. Hey. Hey, Shady, I'm feeling a little frisky. Get off me! What are you...
Is that Sadie? Wow, is that the first time we've heard Sadie?
You've never played the role of Sadie Flagelman before. Okay, let's finish up Right Wing World, shall we? Gretchen Carlson. on the,
who would have ever thought that movies would actually contribute to binge drinking? 63%?
Oh, no.
From movies? And we're talking about movies like Scarface, The Last Supper, The Godfather, Glory Days, Sideways. I mean, movies that you wouldn't necessarily think would be that bad for your kids to go to when they're over 17. So here's the thing. Should we now reconsider restrictions on alcohol placements in movies?
No.
What is she... Sideways was about wine drinking.
Yeah, and it was about an alcoholic who was masking his alcoholism by, wine tasting.
But. Yeah.
But according to her, that's not a movie you would think would contribute to alcoholism. And what is all this nanny statery stuff that she's calling for?
Exactly.
No one should be allowed to see any movies I don't approve of.
Some conservative you are, Gretchen.
Wow. They've really, see, that's the difference. They don't go for booze.
No.
Broadway and Gretchen Carlson apparently does not go for booze or dope.
Nope.
Hmm. Party pooper.
Yeah, she's no fun.
Mm.
Although I will say the naked man running in Sideways.
That part, don't use this. Not appetizing to anybody. Okay, Bill O'Reilly to finish up Right Wing World.
Look, I had no beef. If you're 17 and up, I mean, look, I don't want to pay for it. But this is the trend in our America this year. We're all going to pay for the pill. Now we got to pay for condoms for kids. I mean, I guess the next step is we're going to pay for everybody to go to Club Med.
Yeah, because that's not
healthcare.
I guess
the next step is a giant non sequitur.
Guess what's coming next? All right. Oh, wait. I need to hear my Mike and Raleigh one more time, okay. Because that was our favorite thing this week, I have to say, is Mitt Romney's little rant about how, you know what, somebody has to find me that, Birdcage, Gene Hackman, talking about driving up, because people were, also the Ben Stiller monologue, when Mitt Romney rambles, yes. When Mitt Romney rambles, it is a who in the history of anything has ever said your trees are the right height? Nobody.
No.
Only the most inauthentic man in the world could even approximate coming close to that.
George has a son named Mitt Romney, awkward as can be.
I love this state. It seems right here. Trees are the right height.
What height is that tree? George's son named Wilmer Romney lived a life tax-free.
I was born and raised here. I love this state.
What height is that tree?
Oh, my God.
What height is that?
Isn't the right height, my friend.
Tree!
Mike and Raleigh. All right. Yay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the, yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Even hotter tomorrow night in Phoenix at the Orpheum for Sexy Liberal. Hot, 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 hot. Just very few remaining tickets. Go get it. Go to sexyliberal.com or Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Yes,
be sure to go to the Orpheum.
That is all?
That is all.
Okay, thank you. All right. Oh, boy. Oh, frothy, frothy, frothy. He just, you know, he steps in Santorum every time he opens his mouth.
Yes. Ooh.
It turns out the other night, started a racist author to defend his views on the dangers of contraception. Hmm. Although, I'm sure he'll say he wasn't writing about black people, but blah.
Blah.
Was it Bill Bennett?
Blah.
Bill Blah?
No.
Bill Blah.
His radio show is definitely blah.
Blah.
Yeah, he was asked why he's promised to address the dangers of contraception in this country if elected president. In response, he cited a particularly unfortunate author. He said, what I was talking about is we have a society. Charles Murray just wrote a book about this.
And you are?
And who's?
Oh, he wrote The Bell Curve, which argues that black people score lower. Blah.
Blah. People.
People score lower on IQ tests because they are genetically inferior to whites. Mm. That guy.
Nice.
Bell Curve guy.
Nice attitude.
Anyway, but he said what I'm talking about, blah, 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 which is the increasing number of children being born out of wedlock in America, teens who are sexually active, as I think Progress points out, that's kind of like something out of Bizarro World. Here in the actual world, contraception is the solution to the problem of unplanned pregnancies, not the cause.
Yeah.
But thank you, Frothy. That's...
You are an idiot!
Oh, Murray's latest book, Coming Apart, The State of White America. Okay.
Die Fahne hoch, die Reibe ist geschlossen.
Oh, here he is saying something else untrue.
I always say, you know, you hear this mantra, oh, that Republicans are the party of big business. No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
Look at where all the big business and big Wall Street money goes.
To Republicans.
Not to us.
Yes.
To them. Why? Because they like big. Big government's great for them. Because it crushes the little guy who can't hire another guy in the compliance department to deal with the new regulation. Can't hire another person in the tax department to deal with the complexity of the new tax law. Mm. It's the little guy that gets crushed.
Hmm. Okay. Frothy? The facts do not remotely back up those claims. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce gave 78%, that's nearly 80%, its donations to Republicans.
Like I said, Democrats are getting all the money.
Hmm. Contributors from the financial sector have given over $182 million so far this cycle, 53% almost to Republicans, 32% to Democrats.
So exactly what I'm saying.
About that, it'd be a lot more to Republicans, actually.
I don't get math.
He doesn't get anything.
Yeah, math is dangerously close to science, and we know how Frothy feels about science.
Right? That blinds him every time.
That's right.
He was blinded with science.
Science!
Oh, and also we need to load the liar cannon all morning for Santorum, because Arlen Specter says he is, in fact...
Lies!
It's like you have to lie to live. Mm-hmm. You're a liabetic. Mm-hmm. You have liabetes. Mm-hmm. Twice a day you have to take a shot of Insulin.
Arlen Specter sounds just like that.
Right.
Actually, he sounds more like this.
He sounds like a Bartles and James guy.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support.
I used to love wine coolers. That was my gateway.
How did I
wine
know that
as it turned out.
Wow, I would never have paid you as a wine cooler drinker.
Thank you for your support. It's a gateway to box wine.
You're welcome.
Well,
exactly.
That's what we drank in high school. Because it tasted like candy.
MD-2020. Okay.
With a grasshopper chaser.
Splat. All right. Actually, Arlen Specter, the only one who can against Mittens and Santorum. Mm. That whole exchange, remember in the debate? Mm-hmm. Arlen Specter said he doesn't quite understand why Mitt Romney mentioned him in Wednesday's Republican debate. He added there are bigger things to focus on. During the debate, Romney essentially said Rick Santorum's 2004 endorsement of Specter ensured the existence of President Obama's health care program. Specter went on to say that he and Santorum never agreed to a deal for Santorum's support.
You lie! You lie!
Rob Reiner loves it when we play that.
Have fun storming the castle.
He probably thinks we send him money, but we don't.
No. Computer says no.
In fact, maybe we'll play it again.
Oh, shoot.
All right, never mind.
No,
we
won't.
All right. Representative...
As you wish.
You lie! You lie!
Okay.
I don't think that means what Lieutenant means.
Representative Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona. Mm-hmm. Oh, everything fun is from Arizona.
I mean, believe me, I know. Oof.
He says Mitt attacks could trigger a third-party candidacy. Ooh. Hooray! Hooray!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Finally,
right?
Some good news out of Arizona.
Right? He warned after the Republican debate on Wednesday that Mitt Romney's carpet-bombing attacks on his opponents could lead to a breakaway third-party candidacy in the general election. Mm-hmm. Oh, please!
That'd be great.
Oh, please! It's true.
Yeah.
They hate him so much. I think they would just do it just to with him. We could potentially have a Donald Trump third-party candidacy, a Ron Paul.
Yeah,
that's right.
Fourth-party candidacy. And then,
awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Awesome, right, Steve Ducey? He said, my greatest fear is it seems that Mr. Romney has set his path to the nomination based on carpet-bombing his opponents into oblivion with false negative advertising. That doesn't bode well for us for a couple of reasons. First, it's the kind of thing that engenders a third-party candidacy, which would be a disaster for us. And Gingrich has just the ego as well. Yeah. to launch a third-party candidacy. Secondly, it's the kind of thing that robs us of our most important leverage. I love this. And that is Republicans' most important leverage being their ability to appeal to the truth and to principle. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got that cornered before. When facing an opponent like President Obama, who essentially doesn't hold himself constrained to either. Oh, I see. So Mitt Romney is your core principle? I see.
Okay.
Right.
Go with that.
All right. If we jettison that in a primary, it won't be there for us when we desperately need it in the general. When people debate forthrightly and say, here's where I stand, and don't distort their opponent's positions, that it's a lot easier for opponents to come back together afterwards. But, you know, I used to do a little boxing, and when someone kicks you in the groin, that's against the rules, and it's a way of kind of taking away the comedy of the sport. Yeah. Mitt Romney's kicking guys in the baskets, and that's what he's saying. It's not gonna. They're not going to play well
in
the general.
Your basket's just the right height.
Oh, Steph?
Yeah.
That liar wasn't the Princess Bride.
No.
That was Invader Zim.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
So, well, I was going to send Rob Ride or anything anyway. So, okay.
Got to send him something now. Liar! There, that's the one you're thinking of.
Okay.
That's Princess Bride.
All right. Rob Ride still gets zip. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at you. Do you even realize who you look like?
Stephanie Miller.
That's who. You are gorgeous.
Well, she's awful pretty. I know that, Mom.
Very pretty. Stunning.
Wow.
Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars joins us next hour, as does sexy liberal John Bugle saying by phone from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have tons to get to. Oh, by the way, so we've been talking about... Oh, we played a great Mike and Raleigh bit. I love this letter from Mark in Kansas City. I just started listening to the show using the TuneIn Radio app. I think I'm well on my way to becoming a stephead. I'm brilliant program. I'm curious about the musical satire of Mike and Raleigh. These guys are so talented and prolific. Any more info?
I wrote him back. I already wrote him back.
It's Mike in Raleigh.
Yes.
There is no Raleigh.
And if you search for Mike in Raleigh on Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitter, you'll find it all. You can follow him
everywhere. There you go. All the brilliant Mike in Raleigh bits.
Yeah. Maybe we say that a little too fast. Mike and Raleigh.
Mike and Raleigh.
Black and Decker.
Okay. All right. So President Obama talking about Republicans are licking their chops over rising gas prices. The president.
They're already dusting off their three-point plan for $2 gas. And I'll save you the suspense. Step one is to drill, and step two is to drill. And then step three is to keep drilling.
He's funny. And handsome and romantic, and he can sling.
And drilling in the U.S. has increased, what was it, 350%?
Yes.
Yeah.
Years? Yes.
Yeah.
As I mentioned
so clearly
earlier.
We're not drilling enough. It needs to be 3,000,000%.
Yes. He said that he shared that some politicians, they see this as a political opportunity. I know you're shocked by that. He said one newspaper headline reported Republicans are licking their chops over rising gas prices. Only in politics do people root for bad news.
Right.
Yeah, they do. They root for America to lose the Olympics if it means the president wins, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, and then he went on to talk about the three-point plan. He also referred to Drill Baby Drill as a bumper sticker slogan, not a plan or a strategy to solve energy challenges. Thank you. He said the American people are smart enough to know the difference. That's trusting the American people. That's a whole new thing.
Well, the American people aren't stupid. They know that's not a plan, especially since we're already drilling.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a bumper sticker. It's not a strategy to solve our energy challenge.
Yeah, he talked about, as you just said, Jim, America. He said America is producing more oil today than any time in the last 8 years, with a record number of oil and gas rigs. That is just fact. That is just
and
provable.
And it's another fact that Wall Street speculation is driving up the cost and the threat of war with Iran.
He said we're focused on production.
The amount of oil that we drill at home doesn't set the price of gas by itself.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The oil market is global.
Yep.
Oil is bought and sold in a world market. And just like last year, the single biggest thing that's causing the price of oil to spike right now is instability in the Middle East, this time around Iran.
Yeah, he said when uncertainty increases, speculative trading on Wall Street increases, and that drives prices up even more. I mean, I love the fact that he trusts, and I hope I trust the American people to be smart enough to know that it is a global oil market. It's a Art in Chicago talking to you.
See what he made? Raise the pipeline
would go right into my Packard. And the president won't, and that's why, do you know how much it costs me to drive and get pork next? Do you know how much those cost now?
My Packard gets 10 feet to the gallon.
I think Art in Chicago does drive a Packard. I could be wrong. Okay. Newt Gingrich on the oil price.
We had a petition drive in 2008 called Drill Here, Drill Now, Pay Less, and it ultimately became Drill Baby Drill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Simple
that
solutions
are
always the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially ones defined
I think
by
the American people, as they look at gasoline rising and rising and rising, are going to realize that what we need to do is change in a dramatic way. This is a radical left-wing administration which is against developing energy in the United States and which is actively engaged in appeasing our enemies in the Middle East. And it is a dangerous administration for our future, both economically and in national security terms.
Mm.
Everything in that sentence was a lie.
Yeah. I don't think Newt Gingrich understands global economics at all.
No.
At all. And that's dangerous.
The little dumber boy does.
Oh.
Rick Perry does.
Oh, really?
He says Gingrich can lower oil prices just by talking about it. He's the oil whisperer.
About talking about it, and then there is one other thing you could do.
Oops.
Oops.
Yeah, He's backing Gingrich now, as you know. He told reporters after the debate that the former speaker could bring down oil prices by merely talking about wanting more domestic oil drilling. That it would just magically.
Yeah.
Because Newt said so.
Rumpelstiltskin, frankly.
And if the perception is Newt Gingrich could be the next president of the United States, that will have a worldwide effect, I will suggest to you, on the price of oil. And people who watch these markets and people who deal with these markets understand that when you see the type of approach that he's talking about, opening up federal lands and waters, opening up that pipeline from Canada, clearly giving incentives to drill in America for domestic energy, and then an all-of-the-above policy, whether it's wind or nuclear or whatever it might be, that will have a dampening effect on the cost of oil in particular and the other energy prices as well.
Well, yeah. Already drilling, you...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is really stunning. Was
yeah.
It? Not since, who was it? Oh, Bachman. Gas will be $2 when I, it'll be a dollar. What'd she say? No. Something like that.
It'll
when
be,
I'm president, that'll yeah. happen.
It'll happen.
Dollar.
It'll be a dollar
a
gallon.
It'll be a penny, because I say so.
Because I'm the president and I say so, and that's what happens when you're the president. It's going to be a dollar.
Wow.
I really can't wait for Game Change. Oh, my God.
Yeah. By the way, what is there a rule that all dumbass, you know, what do you call it, Texas governors have to pronounce it nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear.
That's how it's pronounced.
Nuclear.
It's nuclear. N-U-K-Y-L-R.
Maybe because it's dry there. They that thing where their upper lip sticks to their teeth.
Well, you know what?
Nuclear.
It's
doesn't matter
drier,
if it's nuclear.
It's drier in Arizona, and they don't pronounce it that way in Arizona.
True that.
So don't blame it on the dryness.
In fact, I think I'll try to pronounce it tomorrow night on stage at the Orpheum.
You'll get stuff thrown at you.
Nuclear.
You'll get prickly pears thrown at you.
No prickly pears. Ow!
Because that's what they throw there instead of tomatoes.
I was just going to say, they have hurdy fruit. You better be funny in Arizona. Their fruits are weapons.
Yeah.
Oh, great. We probably just gave people ideas.
Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, it's a prickly pear.
Cactus at you.
Ooh, it might be the only sex liberal I get head injuries at. Awesome. Oh, by the way, speaking of Newt Gingrich being a dumbass, did you see this? He's just desperate to do anything for attention. He angrily denounced President Obama's apology to the Afghan President Karzai over the burning of a Koran at a U.S. military base.
Right.
Really? You don't think an American president should apologize for the Koran being burned at a U.S. military base? He took to Twitter to say it's an outrage that on the day an Afghan soldier murders two American troops, President Obama is the one apologizing. Obama's apology mirrored, of course, the one given by then-President George W. Bush in April after an American sniper in Afghanistan shot a Koran. At the time, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino had emphasized it was important to show the U.S. president knew this was wrong.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm guessing that she's going to say the exact opposite on
different.
Fox News because it's President Obama and, you know, he apologizes for America
well,
too much.
Well,
whatever.
Black, like, you know, that's what they're doing.
Oh.
Yeah. In a liberal, left-wing socialist.
Yeah.
Nazi.
I mean, who would have... Of course it caused an outbreak of violence. Seriously? Yeah. When American soldiers burn a Koran on, burn Korans on the
not
U.S. military base?
Not apologizing for it would be much worse.
You know what? I'll bet you some evangelicals would get really upset if some Muslim terrorist shot a Bible.
Yes, probably. Oh, you think? Oh, that probably wouldn't even be mentioned on Fox News. Hello, Margaret in Madison.
Well, hello, my stuff.
Well, hello, my Margaret.
I wanted to remind you, when you go to see Hal's band, when they open in Chicago, to jump on stage and sing, Daddy Was a Cop.
On the east side of Chicago. Back in the bad old days. That's right.
God.
Don't forget, Hal's Band 01 is playing Friday night in Chicago before our Saturday night Sexy Liberal. Are you coming up from Madison?
Not going to the Chicago one, but I got my Madison tickets, and I got my tickets for John's solo show.
Oh, my God. You are a good Sexy Liberal. Good Sexy Liberal.
Again.
Back in the bad old days.
Ooh, that's not annoying.
Oh, that's right. Every time I go to Chicago, I play this.
So be striding water.
Back in the bad old days.
We're not going to have that fight again.
Of a summer night.
In the land of the dollar bill.
All right.
The land
it.
Of the dollar bill.
Lots
you know
folks...
what? They weren't American, so they're just throwing American-sounding things into the song.
By the way, I do know for sure that Madison is sold out in April. So lots of folks in Madison that didn't get those. Yes, lots of folks that didn't get those tickets are going up to Chicago next weekend, March 3rd. So Madtown folks that were not lucky enough to get the Barrymore tickets, go, get it. Oh, speaking of which, Jim from Chicago.
Oh.
Back in the bad old days. Back in the U.S.
On the east side of Chicago.
On the east side.
In the land of the dollar bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says,
this is the stupidest lyrics in the world. God.
What's the other one you hate, though, on the about the south side? Or what is it? The you said there is no one side of Chicago?
East side.
The east side. The east side is the lake.
It's the
oh,
lake.
Oh, the lake.
Well,
yeah.
There's a tiny,
there's a
small
there,
east
yeah.
side, but
yeah.
I mean.
The important thing is, Jim in Chicago, staff, we just upgraded our seats from rear balcony to main floor.
Score!
I know John Fugelsang had said he liked pizza in Chicago better than New York.
Computer says no.
Sorry, Chicago pizza's better.
Chicago
pizza is better.
Jim has a solution, because I like thin crust, so Jim has a solution. I don't care for the deep dish, but if you guys want the best pizza thin crust on the face of the earth, go to Home Run Inn on 31st
Home
near
Run
Pulaski.
Inn is good.
Near Pulaski.
Home Run Inn is good.
I used to live off Pulaski like a good Polack when I lived in Chicago.
Did you?
Yes.
I thought you lived off the lake.
Yeah,
I can't.
I did. I lived both places.
Okay.
I can't have deep dish anymore. There's too much starch.
That's the original Home Run Inn. I think it was voted number one in the country. All right.
Home Run Inn is good. I'll give you that.
First Pulaski.
But Gino's East is good if you like the deep dish stuff.
I'm a thin crust girl. All right. 45 minutes. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
I am getting so hot, I want to take my clothes off.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal John Fugelsang joins us by phone after the top of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Peter in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you about last Friday, there was a refinery fire at the BP refinery just down the road from me here.
Mm.
And it was a relatively minor thing, really. They knocked it down in less than an hour. Nobody was hurt. But now BP is saying that because of it, they have to shut down crude production for at least 6 months, meaning that gas prices are
we'll
going
go even
to
higher.
Soar.
Yeah. Well, when has BP ever lied about anything?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Strange, that.
Funny, that. That might call for a double drama sting. We might have to do dueling Donald Trump is. Hey! You have better stings than I do.
You have that one.
I don't have the right sting in my box.
Would you like another sting?
Yes.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Oh.
Okay. All right, let's... We just go completely off the rails before vacation.
Oh, all right.
I can't watch any commercials on NBC anymore. It's all from the oil and gas industry and how wonderful things are.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and clean coal.
Look, there's green spinning things, so you know it's good for the environment. Liberals, look. All right, the president on the payroll tax cut.
That provides 25 million Latinos with an extra $40 in every paycheck.
By the way, you know what I was saying? It doesn't matter economically, the tax cut-wise, and the Republican side, they're all bad? Why, looky here. Debt would swell under Republican candidates' tax plan study. These are supposed to be the fiscal conservatives, right? The no debt, blah, blah, blah. The U.S. national debt will swell further under tax cuts plans floated by three of the top four Republican presidential candidates, according to an independent analysis of their fiscal policy proposals. Plans put forth by Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum would pile up the largest increases in debt, while Mitt Romney's initial plan, since revised, actually the revision will make that even worse,
yeah,
but would also increase it. but by a slightly smaller amount. Only Ron Paul's plan to drastically shrink government and cut taxes would produce a reduction in debt levels, because he would just, he'd squash everything with his giant mallet, essentially, and destroy the economy. All the Republican candidates have promised tax cuts will spark an explosion in economic growth will fill federal coffers with sufficient revenues to shrink deficits. Their assertion that tax cuts can pay for themselves is often met with skepticism by economists.
What do they know?
Are they making proposals that risk making the debt problem worse, said one economist. On that score, all of these candidates fail. They all reduce the revenue that is available to the government over time. Thank you. It's what I said, it doesn't really matter which one of them. It's all the same thing.
Right.
It's all benefit the top 1%, explode the debt, tax cuts don't pay for them, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
All right. Update on the, because we off to Arizona tomorrow. Orpheum. See
Orpheum.
You tomorrow night for sexy liberal.
Attention, listeners.
Yes.
Oh.
It is. Oh.
Now hear this.
Yes.
You must proceed to the Orpheum Theater. Repeat, the Orpheum Theater. That is all.
Thank you. All right. We were given incorrect information. We apologize. And please give Rebecca a kiss when you call. It is not her fault.
It's not her
She's
fault.
She's been taking incoming fire for months. Okay. She has nothing to do with it.
We love right. Rebecca.
We love Rebecca so much.
We do.
All right. Oh, that's incoming fire. Rebecca's taking out there in the foxhole.
Are you the guy from Police Academy now?
Yeah, we still don't. We're going to go with conspiracy sausages. We don't really know. Yeah. There was a previous promoter that gave us bad information, and I still don't get how people have been unable to buy tickets. There are still very few left. They're going fast, but we were told it was sold out months ago. We were told it was moved to a different place. I'm just saying. And also, and furthermore, yeah, that's my point. All right.
I got point. More than you
have. Shut up. I have sting envy. Okay, so speaking of Arizona, Politico has the latest on Sheriff Babu.
Babu.
The sweet Babu.
Hey, Babu.
From Pinal County.
Pinal.
That's not what Roger Hedgehog says.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh,
pardon me.
You
keep getting that wrong.
Pardon me.
Does he live in Pinal County?
Well, I'm guessing. The headline is Babu survives a storm so far, almost a week after Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babu's candidacy was nearly derailed by sensational allegations. Sensational. Oh, they were stunning. They were super. They were more than sensational. They were super. Thanks for asking.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Whee!
¿Dónde están mis pantalones?
That's what we said earlier, is that, you know, you could threaten deportation even if his boyfriend was legal. Just because he was brown and pantless,
yeah,
he might have been deported.
His papers were in his pants.
Because the sheriff happened to know he didn't have pants on because he was naked in his bed.
¿Dónde está?
Los pantalones.
¿Dónde están mis pantalones?
Mm-hmm. We're just thinking that was uttered at some point in this whole unpleasantness. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Supporters see his House bid as testing whether an openly gay Republican can win in a deeply conservative district. So far, the cracks in Babu's coalition are minimal. In the 6 days since the Phoenix New Times first reported that he had allegedly threatened the next level of deportation, the campaign has raised nearly $14,000 online. Oh, he does very well online, apparently.
I've heard.
Yikes. Not one of, Okay. Not one of Babu's estimated 10,000 donors has requested a refund. His finance team remains intact, and the campaign has tallied 2,200 new likes on Facebook. I bet. Others, though, say it would be naive to think his sexual orientation won't have an indelible impact on the swath of conservative voters who dominate the redrawn district there where he is running. Challenging freshman Representative Paul Gosar, who is also a Republican, being gay and dating a Mexican who may or may not be legal is a double whammy in the district he's running in for Congress, said one Phoenix PR person. I'm not sure what will hurt him worse.
Yeah.
The good news is he's gay. That's the good news.
On Thursday, his opponent called it incomprehensible that Babu is attempting to take the position of victim to garner national sympathy. Claims by Babu that his three-year relationship, he never questioned the legal immigration status of his partner, further demonstrates the lack of judgment needed to represent the people of Arizona. New Times is also reporting that Babu's former partner, Jose, will soon release, quote, additional evidence of threats he received from Babu's camp.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Hopefully before tomorrow's Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah.
I'll need that information. Thank you.
First thing I do when I get to Phoenix later today, I'll pick up a Phoenix New Times, see if there's anything new.
Get that back to me. All right, see you with John Fugel saying next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12 to join the party. And it is a party. Why? Because it's Friday. And we are off on vacation next week. Why? Because we have to unexpectedly take our vacation early because of some big, big news in March.
Huge.
For the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huge.
That we can't say. Can't say what we can't say about. Isn't that irritating? All right. But first of all, tomorrow, kids, we are off tomorrow.
2011 marked the birth of our generation's greatest liberal comedy tour. In 2012, Phoenix, Arizona will witness the ascension of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to reaffirm its comedic immortality.
In America, of all f***ing places.
Oh. On February 25th, Stephanie Miller.
I'm the devil's candy.
And her sexy liberal players will bring their special brand of sweltering sexy liberal comedy to the Orpheum Theater. But it's a dry heat.
It's getting hot in here.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 602-262-7272. Come spite Sheriff Arpaio and pitch a tent with your fellow undocumented progressives. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Orpheum Theater on February 25th. Phoenix, it would be a cardinal sin to miss this.
No, my goodness gracious. Speaking of sexy liberals, why...
Fugel saying, thank God it's.
Yeah.
With John Fugel saying.
A telephonic Fugel saying is better than a Fugel saying in Free Friday. Good morning, sexy liberal John Fugel saying.
Good morning, children. How y'all doing?
We're all doing fine. How are things in Florida?
Things in Florida are great. I actually live in Manhattan, so I have to come to Florida just so I can hear New York accents.
There you go.
I work here on the East Coast.
There you go.
But I'm really excited about going to Arizona tomorrow. We're really, really thrilled. As your listeners know, Steph, we do raise money for a local charity in every city we visit with the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yep.
And I'm very proud to announce that our charity for Phoenix is going to be buying sunblock for Governor Jan Brewer.
Awesome. Awesome. That's not true, John Fugel saying. We're doing rescue horses and also the children's symphony. They do music lessons for underprivileged kids. But John Fugel sang. We don't even know where to start. We don't know whether it's right wing scampery. It's not provable. Just the Sexy Liberal Show has been the target of so much scampery. One has to wonder. We got, I guess, bad information from a previous promoter, whatever, that we had been moved to Symphony Hall, so there's been a lot of confusion. We were told months ago that we were sold out, so we stopped promoting it. Here's what I love about Sexy Liberals, John Fugel saying. It looks like we're probably, if not already, we're very close to sell out right as we speak. So even though... If that were right-wing scampery and we stopped, people have been unable to buy tickets. We've been getting tons of calls and letters. They haven't been able to buy tickets. It turns out we were not moved. We were always at the Orpheum, and there were tickets left. So, but the great news about Sexy Liberals is those have gone in, like, record time. So despite whoever's attempts to do whatever, we're still going to have a packed, sold-out show at the Orpheum tomorrow night in Phoenix.
And the Orpheum is a gorgeous theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Orpheum and Symphony Hall are like a block away from each other. The theater has been very, very apologetic and wonderful, and they've promised that if anyone goes to the wrong place, they will have go-kart buggy rides to bring people to the right location.
For older people, they're going to have a golf cart to take you back
buggy
and forth.
Rides.
Yeah.
We'll have buggy rides. We don't really know if this was Arizona GOP. We just know it's a dry hate.
It's a dry hate. Ah, you see what he did there. He's the fuel thing. And then, as you know, then next Saturday we are in Chicago for the big Super Saturday show. So it's
going to be a party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that almost all sold out as well. So we're very excited. This is how bad it's gotten because of the strain of all of this. Roland and I are actually vacationing together next week. We'll be with cucumbers on our eyes together.
Oh, boy.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Being deep moisturized.
That's great. I'm going to be actually becoming, I'll be in L.A. all of next week. I'm going to be launching my brand new game show about white men with mustaches called Gay, Hipster, or Republican.
Awesome.
So please watch for that. That was inspired by the crowd at the debate the other night. Because, you know, it's not an official GOP debate until Ron Paul gets booed for telling the truth about something.
Yes, exactly. And just, by the way, Julie in Seattle just sent us the gayest picture ever at a Republican debate, which is hard to do. But they're literally, right, Jim, is a picture of Santorum and Romney. They look like they're doing the synchronized swimming sketch right. from Saturday Night Live.
I know you.
They're sort of pointing at each other. And,
Man, they hate each other. It's incredible. And it is true because Santorum was so behind Romney back in 2008. I mean, Romney pretty much turned to him and saying, don't you remember? You told me you love me, baby, the other night.
Yeah.
But Santorum, one thing was sure, he will not be smeared. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like to play Santorum Says when I watch the debates.
Yes.
It's my favorite game because Santorum says Obama's an evil socialist mastermind genius and timid.
Yes.
And he says that he hates it when teens have out of wedlock birth, and he hates contraception.
Right.
And he also says that he can win the election because he's from a powerful swing state, which fired him. So play along next time you're watching.
Santorum says, you know, this is what I think is great is this debate, John. It's made them seem so even more out of touch. As someone said, it's a bunch of old white men talking about birth control, about women's health issues. You know,
yeah.
And in total, the GOP contenders mentioned the word jobs only 10 times over 2 hours. Rick Santorum, a grand total of zero.
Wow.
Said the word jobs a grand total of zero times.
No, it's true. It's you watch it, it's whiter than an albino kabuki troupe. But it is true also that, you know, they aren't talking about jobs. And I give the president a lot of credit for that, or David Plouffe, when he's not sending us those emails we don't read, because the White House has so skillfully brought up the birth control argument, taking the most unpopular debate that the GOP has in their social conservative quiver and making them focus on it. And it's really, really beautiful watching how much that hurts Mitt Romney, how Santorum hates Romney as much as 75% of the GOP base does. And I you know, my favorite part of that whole debate was seeing in the audience Rick Perry sitting next to Calista Gingrich.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was great. If there's any justice, he was rubbing her leg. And if there's any karma, she was loving it.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be funny if they were cheating on Newt Gingrich during the debate. That'd just be awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, especially for you, personal comedy Jesus, the fact that he's like really gone religious right crazy. Just a few things he said in the last few days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Santorum, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, and the irony is that anti-birth control politicians are really the greatest argument for birth control.
Yes, ironically.
If you're in a state with an open primary, you Democrats, independents, and sane Republicans, please go vote for Santorum. The comedians are begging you. We lost Herman Cain. We lost Michelle Bachmann. Really, I mean, Romney's plenty funny, but Santorum would just be Christmas morning bozo on a pogo stick funny. So please, please, please do whatever you can to keep Santorum in the race. The big question is, will Gingrich drop out and give Santorum his delegates? And if he does that, at least with poll numbers alone, Santorum will be higher polling than Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you and Hal and I will be in Phoenix tomorrow night, and they vote, of course, on Tuesday in Arizona, and that's looking close as well. And that was even a week ago was supposed to be a safe Romney win, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Although it's looking more and more like things will go well in Michigan. I mean, if Romney loses Michigan, we really have a solid chance of getting a late entry into the race, or at least a third-party evangelical candidacy, because if he can't pull off his own dad's state, his dad, who was born in Mexico, by the way, which is, you know, not as bad as Kenya, you know, if Romney can't pull that off, then they're just going to give up on this guy. I mean, they're trying to manufacture enthusiasm. It's like going to a Renaissance fair. It's really, really sad.
Yes, I've always loved giant turkey legs. You know, the other thing I think that it cannot not be said enough is that God clearly a liberal because why? everywhere sexy liberal goes, there's some hilarious, you know,
right-wing hypocrite
scandal. In this case, the sheriff of Pinal County.
Pinal County.
Right. Babu.
Babu.
Yes, yes. Who apparently is very tough on the border, except the border around his bed. Or his, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, his personal boundaries.
He does do some field research south of the border. We learned that. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Isn't it great? They say romance is dead. This is finally a GOP program to drive illegal immigrants out of the country. Just date them until they leave and break up with you.
Yes.
It really works. It's gay harassment. It will be the strategy to do it.
I mean, it's hilarious, isn't it, to watch, you know, how quickly the Romney campaign had to distance themselves. They're just, I'm running for president for Pete's sake. I can't have the gays and illegals on me.
Oh, it's hilarious. And this guy is on Romney's campaign staff, which
right.
is always funny when you have a gay predator on your staff. But it's terrific because people, if you don't remember, this is the same guy who played a sheriff in the John McCain
right.
Senate reelection ad back in 2010, which was fantastic because this guy doesn't work anywhere near the border. He works in a county north of the border, but they trotted him down to the border to do this fake ad. This is the one where McCain said, you know, finish the dang fence. Which is a fence that McCain was opposed to for many years. So it was kind of like Pharaoh saying, you know, free the dang Jews. And this guy's already famous for Republican hypocrisy. And so now to have this on top of it, and he's running for Congress
yes.
still hasn't dropped out. So really, thank you, Arizona, for Babu. He is the funniest Republican you've given us since Joe Arpaio and Jan Brewer.
And he said in that ad, if you'll recall, to Senator McCain, he said, you're one of us. Which now that we know John McCain is a gay illegal immigrant dater, he would have lost by even more. Just
it's
saying.
Fantastic. Well, it's you know, Cindy McCain looks like a lot of fun, but I guess he's crossed over to the dark side.
John Fugelsang, can you hang and stay with us for
hang.
A few more minutes? All right, John Fugelsang, 18 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Fugelsang, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. It's a telephonic Fridays with Fugelsang, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal, on the phone from Florida, joining us tomorrow night in Phoenix at the Orpheum. Orpheum.
Orpheum.
And gentlemen, we will be at the Orpheum tomorrow night for sexy liberal, along with Hal Sparks. And then the following Friday, or excuse me, Saturday, March 3rd in Chicago mm-hmm. at Chicago Theater.
Maybe that will be the night that Chicago died.
Oh, it will not. Mm. It'll be awful.
Die from laughter?
Well,
wait,
the east side
John Fugelsang, question for you. We're yes. being backed up by our friends, the Chicago Blues All-Stars. As usual, will there
yeah.
be a liberal man?
Oh, I think there's going to be a liberal man for this crowd.
Yeah, John Fugelsang blew the roof off the sucker, as they say last year, with his liberal man
oh.
with the Chicago. Because would you like an? I wanted to save this for you. You're going to have to beat this. Eric Bolling did some right-wing blues on Fox and Friends.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying this. I was making a comparison between you know Mitt Romney singing and President Obama singing in terms of talent on their side and our side. This will be the right-wing side.
I woke up this morning and turned on the news. Gasoline was up again. I got the blues.
Oh.
I had a few bucks to bring to the bank. Needed it all to fill up my tank. The dollars roll higher on the gasoline pump. With each ring-a-ding ding, a pain in my rump. So live it up while you can, Commander-in-Chief, because our pain at the pump is beyond our belief. We'll remember in November when we vote and choose. And you know why you lost, because we got the gasoline blues.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Bolling.
It's awesome.
Really clever.
John Fugelsang is breaking up. Are you there, John?
I'm right here. Can you hear me? I'm right here.
Now I can hear you. Yeah, you're going to have to top that.
Oh, well, it reminds me of what George Carlin said, that white people have no business singing the blues.
Yeah.
White people's job is to give people the blues. I love hearing the people who were saying that it couldn't possibly be President Bush's fault when gas prices went high in 2008, blaming this all on the president right now. The difference is, you know, back then in 2008 when gas prices were really high, we on the left weren't blaming Bush. We were blaming greedy oil companies that were having record profits anyway, and Bush was their shill. Obama's not a shill. So these guys are just incredible right-wing hypocrites because they didn't want to blame Bush back then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and we were saying earlier, once again, facts, well-known liberal bias. I mean, we are, it is provable, John, that we are drilling more than, you know, as the president pointed out.
We are drilling more than ever. And you know, next to weaponry, I believe that, that gasoline is our number one export.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you hear,
for the first time in, what, 60 years, I believe. Yeah.
So when you have all your right-wing clown neighbors or coworkers or that guy behind you on the airplane like I had a couple days ago talking about liberals with the keystone because we got to drill here and have our own fuel here so we're not dependent on those Arabs that Obama bows down to, man, that oil is not going to stay here. It's going to get exported like it's being exported right now.
Yeah.
This drilling has not kept prices low, and it's the same people who said we needed to go to war with Iraq two times to keep gas prices low, now saying we need Keystone to keep gas prices low.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we were saying, you know, it doesn't matter what the subject is. Newt Gingrich just criticized Obama for apologizing for United States soldiers burning the Koran on a U.S. military base, which George Bush did exactly the same thing when an American soldier shot the Koran. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now, mm-hmm. yeah, now because Obama's doing it, it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, this is a guy who cares a lot about religious freedom and the Confederate flag when it comes to symbols. But, you know, the debate was amazing because I will give Newt Gingrich credit. This guy can change the subject from whatever's actually being talked about. I mean, the other night when they asked about contraception, he changed the subject with the skill of a man who has been caught in adultery many, many times.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you, Newt?
John King.
That's not the point. The point is you burned dinner.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, John King, you know, the guy is a nice guy, but he caved like an unregulated coal mine the other night in that debate. Gingrich is just a big old bully. You know, yeah,
well,
I mean, come on, man.
We were saying, there's a new paradigm because did you see, I mean, that was the most arrogant answer ever. Mitt Romney said, you get to ask the questions you want. I get to get the answers I want.
Yeah.
And John King literally said, fair enough. What?
Okay. Yeah, it's really depressing. I would really like to see a journalist at, you know, I mean, once again, I don't believe in adultery, but if you're married to John King, at least, you know, the guy doesn't ask any tough follow-up questions.
No,
It was really, really sad. And again, it was asking about birth control, and that's all we really want from debates. I mean, I think that Republicans and Democrats alike would love to hear, you know, a moderator just say, do you believe in birth control, yes or no? Is it a bad thing, yes or no? Just like, do you believe that people deserve to go to jail for using marijuana, yes or no? Like, these are the simple questions they won't ask.
Yep.
And, you know, would Jesus support preemptive war? You know, like when Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses as we trespass against those we think might trespass against us. But they just keep on lying, and no one ever, except for the when Gingrich talked about the appeasement of our enemies, because I was outraged when Obama gave Czechoslovakia away to Al Qaeda. That was wrong.
Yeah, I think that was wrong. You know, even a happy, clappy liberal like me can see that's no good. Musicologist John Fugel saying, real quick, have you heard Bruce Springsteen's new album, Wrecking Ball, inspired by the angry patriotism
terrific.
From the Occupy movement?
It's a terrific record, and two of the songs on it are old songs that he's redone, but one of them features Clarence Clemons. They both feature last ever performances, so you got to get it. And honestly, it's really a great record sonically. I mean,
so sorry, honey. See you in Phoenix tomorrow night.
See you tomorrow.
All right, love ya. John Fugel saying tomorrow night, Sexy Liberal Phoenix. Back with Tuna Dupuis next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I met a girl, Mom.
That's wonderful, honey.
Yeah, her name is
Stephanie Miller.
Is she nice?
Yeah, she's really nice and super pretty, and her bicycle seat smells like strawberries.
Oh, okay.
Lord.
Wow.
Who's been to my spinning class?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Stephanie's been here.
Strawberries. This hour brought to you by Go to My PC. Access your Mac or... Great. Now everyone knows what flavor douche I use. All right.
Oh, no.
Golly.
No, no. Okay.
Golly. Isn't anything private anymore?
Start your billboard over again, please.
Maybe I really shouldn't mention who this is. I'll do that later.
Okay. Thank you.
They probably don't want to be associated with this particular segment.
No.
All right, but it's about to get better. Mm-hmm. Why? Did I really call her Tuna Dupuis?
Yes, you did.
Before the break. I'm sorry. I was in a panic because it was a hard break. If she were, her brand of tuna would be best.
Yes.
Mm. What? However, that's not what I'm talking about.
If there was one thing
Stephanie Miller
was sure of, it was that her brand of tuna was best.
Thank
and it
you.
Smells like strawberries.
Tina Dupuis of Crooks and Liars, our favorite. Good morning, Tina.
Oh, God.
Is that the weirdest intro you've ever gotten? Seriously.
By far.
Yeah. Wow. And now, let's talk about Lady Parts and Rick Santorum.
Oh, boy.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that sounded redundant. Go on.
Yes, indeed. It's really combination what? Religious, homophobic, sexist rhetoric, Rick Santorum. I love you call him the Bible thumpiest, the preachiest of the preachy in this race.
Right. You know, I mean, the guy goes out and talks about how he wants small government, .. for corporations, but he wants women to be public incubators. He thinks that we should have, contraception should be outlawed and abortion should be outlawed, and everybody, and that rape is a gift from God, especially if you get pregnant from it. This guy has, he's a total extremist. But also, he's the most religious, arguably the most religious candidate that we have running right now, and he's given less to charity than anyone else running right now. So on paper, he's not a generous dude.
Yeah, I saw that. I had not seen anyone else but you unearth that fun fact that he gave, of his $1 million in income, he gave 1.75% to charity. President Obama gave 14.2%.
Right. And Romney gave just under 14%.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's the one who uses, Jesus as a reference on his resume. But he's not, adhering to the basic tenets of Christianity, which has something to do with helping the less unfortunate or the less fortunate. But then he also has this anti-woman problem.
Yeah, you think?
Where he wrote a book
basically
railing against radical feminism for making women find satisfaction, gasp, outside the home.
Gasp, in career, gasp.
And so in order to soften this, these kind of extreme views that he has in his 2005 book, he has blamed it all on his wife.
Yes.
He said that his wife co-wrote those passages, all the really extreme stuff that made, part of the reason he lost his seat was because he came out against women working out of the home. So he blames this all on his wife. And so I think that the only way that he can really solve both these issues, not looking generous and having an anti-woman issue,
mm-hmm.
is by giving his wife co-writer credit.
Yes. You say currently Karen isn't even in the acknowledgement section, let alone on the cover of the catalog information. Why not announce the mother of your children isn't just your personal incubator, but is valued for her mind and opinion? How about that?
Right. So he could just come out It Takes a Family is the name of the book. And, since it took a family to write, he could give his family credit. Of course, since I wrote this piece, I've had people write me and say, well, maybe she didn't want her name on that book.
And that piece of dreck.
Which is a valid point. But also there's the other sticky situation that people have pointed out, that if she wrote this book, then she would be technically working outside the home.
Right.
Uh-oh.
She'd be a radical hairy feminist,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. So, gray area.
Don't call me a misogynist, you whore.
All right. Nicely done, Jim. Yeah, plus he didn't even make any sense, did he, Tina? In the debate, he was talking going on and on about unwed, mothers. Hello, excuse me, contraception is really how you stop that, not
right.
The cause of it. What?
I am so glad that you caught that. I thought the same thing. I was like, if this was not an endorsement of why there should be contraception available and education made available to young women, I don't know what is. Yeah, I thought that was really bizarre. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But, you know, of course, I mean, and he also said that I thought was the most telling thing. He said, whatever Joe Biden was for, you just be 100% against that, and that's what you're for, which I think is what his platform really is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whatever is a sensible solution that a moderate president is for, suddenly that's what he's 180 against. And so what comes up is basically, I mean, there have been countries that have gone to the extremes that Santorum is touting, that have been extremist religious countries where women are not able to get abortions, women are not able to have contraception, and it's a dystopia to everyone else, and it's what, you know, it's a utopia to him.
Right.
It's called Afghanistan.
Right. You know, or communist Romania. I mean, this has happened. People have, like him, have gotten in power and have had their extreme views subjected, you know, to human beings, and it has never worked out well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and so I think even David Frum, of all people, I mean, some of the semi-sane Republicans are even saying, Rick, in this economy, you don't seems a little out of touch that, you know, a lot of women by choice because of this economy are holding off on having kids. I mean, it just is amazing, this party that's supposed to be for small government and for free personal freedom, right?
Right. I mean, if you want to stop abortion, if you want fewer abortions, go after the causes of abortion. And you know what the number one cause of abortion? Poverty.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not having enough. Knowing that you already have three children and you can't feed them and that you got pregnant again. That's why people get abortions. It's not people who are just hedonists and want to use it as birth control. I mean, as their only form of birth control. I mean, abortion is a desperate act that happens not because you want it to get an abortion. It is a plan B, but you know they're trying to make contraception and basic health care for women into something nefarious and evil and against the church. I mean, the fact that they had holy men talking about contraception and trying to make this into some kind of religious freedom is frightening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first time you heard about this Virginia law, did you really think, seriously, are you kidding? I mean, that really is state-sponsored rape, isn't it? Brought to you by Transvaginal Bob.
Right, and the attitude towards it. They were like, look, they already got knocked up. I mean, why do we care? You know, why are they caring about a vaginal probe at this point? You know? I mean,
you're joking. Needs. You're joking, and Dana Loesch actually said that in Right Wing World a couple of days ago.
I wasn't joking.
Yeah. No, she actually said that. Like, oh, they didn't mind getting this.
Right, but I mean, I went into one of these places, that a fake abortion clinic that was run by religious people. Huh. I wrote a story about it. And when I went in there, I mean, they just made stuff up in whole cloth. They said to me personally, one of the nurses, or someone who appeared to look like a nurse because she was dressed in scrubs, said that viruses seep through latex. And I was like, wait a second, do you mean the material that doctors use in order to do surgery?
Right.
Viruses slip through that. You know, I mean, they just kind of make stuff up because they want you to put an aspirin between your knees, or whatever. I mean, and then the fact that Ron Paul, who has been touting himself as a libertarian, came out against or said that sodomy laws are acceptable. I mean, the Supreme Court said that you can't tell Americans what they can do in their own home in 2005. And there has not been any frogs reported raining down anywhere in the U.S. since this happened. And no one cares. It was like it came and went. Who cares that now all forms of consensual sex in the privacy of your own home are legal. And Ron Paul, of all people, who says that he's a libertarian, said, well, you know, states have the right to kind of do this stuff, and which means that he's not a libertarian. That means that he's just for states being able to give us fewer rights.
Right, exactly. Dina, what's your take? I mean, you know, we've talked obviously several times, but, you know, and I know they say the common wisdom is it's still Romney, but, you know, might we be lucky enough to actually have a nominee Santorum in our immediate future?
You know, Stephanie, I said that Tim Pawlenty was going all the way because he had the best name for making puns with.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He had You have plenty of jokes, plenty of puns, plenty of votes. You know, this guy was going all the way.
Right.
So I'm probably the worst person to ask this. But it looks to me like the Republican establishment is kind of rallying around Romney. And Romney is going to be the guy because they can't have a brokered convention. This is that would be disastrous. So they're really trying to make Romney as the acceptable candidate and get everybody to kind of fall in line behind him. I think Santorum's kind of a sideshow still. He's one of those guys, those personalities that are making really hardcore Republicans blush because he's basically this kind of like one-hit wonder from the 90s who's coming out with this, you know. I mean, if we're talking about Terry Schiavo in 2012, this is not good for the Republican Party because that was really when they jumped the shark.
He's from the 1890s.
Exactly.
I thought the 1890s were a little more progressive than that.
You know what? I think you're right, Tina.
Tina Dupuy, Crooks and Liars, always a pleasure. Talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes.
Yay. TinaDupuy.com. We have a link to it up at StephanieMiller.com.
Yes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the Celebrity Stack and the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
You forgot to play Vacation. Now we're going to sit here all next week.
Well, you can sit here.
Because
I'm not getting right out of here.
Not ready to go until you play Vacation.
Oh. Yeah, I'll play it going into the top of the hour break.
Okay.
How's that?
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere. Now even from your iPad with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. All right. We are on unexpectedly going on vacation early. Not in March like we normally do. Why, Jim? Because something huge.
Something huge. Huge.
Happening with Stephanie Miller Show in March. So we can't tell you about.
Nope.
Haha. Neener.
Although, We could tell you because we know, but we have to
choose not to.
Just to be even more irritating.
Yeah.
In stereo.
Is there any inkling of when we can?
No.
No? Okay.
Sort of. Okay.
Sometime before March, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Who can say? Oh, maybe David Bender can say, who will be filling in for us next week. Don't forget, we will be in Phoenix tomorrow night for Sexy Liberal, and then the following Saturday, March 3rd, in Chicago. Tickets almost gone for both of those, so hooray. David Bender!
David Bender can say only one thing.
What's that?
Orpheum!
Orpheum!
Oh, it's at the Orpheum, everybody! We apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes.
That is the one word I can say. I've been in the chat room today, and I got to tell you, the chat room says they promise if we tell them in the chat room that they will keep it a secret.
There.
Now here it is. Back chance.
Thank you, Jim.
1,700 people can keep a secret. I think that makes sense.
Whisper it. David Bender, what do you have on top, as they say in the radio
we've
business?
We've got some big surprises, I could tell you. but then I'd have to kill you.
I understand. Hal is going to be sitting in studio with you on Wednesday. I know that much.
Exactly right. Yep. Hal Sparks will be humping right there in the studio with me. And,
yes.
And that is that is better than man on dog, I have to tell you.
Wow. Not...
but we've got some really fun surprises. Now, I can say that I have reached out to a singer that some people like to call Barry. And maybe, you know, he's been humming a few tunes recently in public, so maybe he will come on next week. We'll see.
Hello?
Barry Gibb. It's Barry Gibb.
All right.
Gosh,
nobody gives too much.
Are you talking about Barack Obama?
The president?
Obama?
You're not talking.
Some people call him Barry.
The president?
You know, if I do that.
Listen to me, Bender. If he comes on this show.
If I have the president on while you're gone.
I will strangle you to death.
and that will be a mercy killing. I think it will be much slower torture.
Exactly.
Frankly.
Exactly.
Wow.
No, David Bender knows everyone that's everyone ever in the history of ever.
We're
just saying.
Yeah, Ruth Hurd B. Hayes is coming on. and as a matter of fact, we are going to convert him to Mormonism.
Oh, good.
we're we will do the ceremony live on the show.
Awesome.
Clifford B. Hayes becomes an expert. Oh,
maybe John Fugel saying maybe we'll come on Friday with you and gay marry some dead Mormons. So that'll
that'd be great.
We would love that.
All right.
And Chris, can you leave me a list of those towns like
Cumming, Georgia, and
places Rick Santorum should not campaign.
Yeah.
All right, David Bender, we gotta go. But
Kristen, you're going on vacation.
We gotta.
I'm hoping to hear from you, maybe with cucumbers on your eyes sometime next week.
Yes.
If you can take them off for a second.
Yes, and it's a big political week next week, so David Bender will be all over all of it. We will talk to you next week.
Love you guys.
Love you, honey.
Bye, David Bender. Bye.
There he goes, the Bender. So John Duke was talking about Bruce Springsteen's new album. I gotta hear it now. It was apparently inspired by the Occupy movement, and we were just saying talent on our side, talent on their side. Just saying.
No.
You know. He said the temper has changed. People on the streets previous to Occupy Wall Street. There was no pushback at all, saying this was outrageous, a basic theft that struck at the heart of what America was about. You can never go wrong with pissed off in rock and roll.
Yes.
No boss.
Springsteen's
boss.
No Bismarcky.
No.
Yes.
Oh, baby, you.
Mm-hmm. Right-wing singers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baby, you.
All right. Oh, guess who's... Oscars on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah. Roland and I got a big gay Oscar party.
Is there any other kind?
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
No. Sacha Baron Cohen has been banned from the Oscars. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. For the Dictator?
It's because he wants to dress up as his character from The Dictator on the red carpet. So, and he's an Academy member. He's one of the stars of Hugo, which is nominated, but he's... I guess they're flashing back to promote Bruno. He flew through the air at the MTV Awards and landed with his crotch in the face of Eminem, who later admitted the stunt was rehearsed. You think?
Eminem faked being really, really pissed off about it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I would think one would have to rehearse that.
Yeah.
The teabagging demonstration that Hal Sparks and I do for Sexy Liberal, completely unrehearsed. We kind of wing that every time. It's improvisation.
Does that make you a wing nut?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me? Okay. What? Leonardo DiCaprio bought the Wizard of Oz ruby slippers. Oh, my God. Marcus Bachman.
I just hate you.
It's not happening.
And I hate your ass steak.
There are actually several pairs of slippers.
Really?
Provo-Law wrote a book about that.
Yeah. He got snookered. In a related story, Snooki has been banned from a Jersey wine shop. Can that be far away from me?
I thought JWoww was as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Snooki and JWoww are both banned.
I'm welcome currently at any wine establishment.
That's because you spend thousands of dollars at any wine shop you go to.
Hi, Ms. Miller. It's good to see you again.
Why, hello. I have another child entering college. Hello. Come in.
Harvard, here we come.
I know where Jim's going to be shopping for electronics. Walmart. Man buys new DVD player, finds porn movie inside. Complains for some reason. Travis Lively and his girlfriend were enjoying their first Valentine's.
Yeah.
Saturday night. And a romantic evening at home watching movies. He needed a DVD player quick, so he went to Walmart and got a Magnavox. To his surprise, when he opened up the DVD tray, Black Crack Attack number 2.
Say the name of that again?
Black Crack Attack number 2.
It's not as good as the first one.
No.
The sequels are never as good. No. It wasn't No Godfather 2.
How did I know Jim would know that one? Okay. Oh, boy. This is, you know what? L.A. City school system, it's hard to beat what's going on here, but are teachers getting weirder, or is it just...
In L.A., people
are just noticing.
This one in New York, teacher arrested for administration of a purple nurple. A Bronx substitute teacher was arrested after allegedly twisting a male student's nipples in school. What? The 16-year-old student told cops that she touched his nipples inappropriately during two... you can't give twisters to... that's just a weird story.
We called them purple nurples.
Is that? Well...
Yeah. Have you ever heard that term before?
No, I have not. I was like, wow, what's that?
It's a twister.
And another headline from Port St. Lucie. If you get a speeding ticket, it's probably best not to go to the officer's house to discuss it man-to-man. Don't do that. 53-year-old man accused of showing up at the home of a police officer who issued him a speeding ticket and telling the officer's wife he wanted to talk to the officer man-to-man. No.
No.
Says no.
No.
Yeah. I told you I got a speeding ticket a couple of weeks ago.
Did you go to the officer's house to talk to man-to-man?
Yeah, listen, I may drop a pin on my iPhone after this. I may have Siri tell me where he lives, though. Talk to him.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Please do not do this.
Are you out of your mind?
You will be arrested.
She'll try and talk you out of it.
All right. That's it for us. David Bender in for us next week on vacation. We will see you tomorrow night at the Orpheum for Sexy Liberal. And then March 3rd.
That's the Orpheum. Do yes. not go to the other
Thank
place.
You. And then March 3rd at the Chicago Theater. There you go. See you then.
That is all.